Erev Tov, good evening. We are here at Knesset Bet Yisrael in Ranana, studying Tzedakah in an Age of Inequality. And tonight's topic is really a fascinating one, which I want to introduce with the following anecdote, following story. When I was serving as a rabbi in Cape Town, one of the first impressions that you have is you go from the airport, very nice airport, and you see Table Mountain. It's magnificent. And one of the glories of the world, beautiful views. And you get out of the airport and you start driving along the highway, and you see whole towns, whole villages, townships they're called, of people living in shacks, like literally living in shacks built by others, and it's something that you don't see. Growing up in America, I didn't see that. I definitely saw poor people. You see poor people in the street, unfortunately, but you don't see whole townships of people who are impoverished. You travel. You travel in 20 minutes, and you get to Sea Point, which is right on the coast, and then you continue driving to Clifton, which is one of the most expensive pieces of real estate in all of Africa, the entire continent. And it's beautiful, and there are magnificent beaches there, and places to jog, and unbelievable vistas. And in Clifton, you see multi-million dollar homes. I mean, huge mansions on the mountain, overlooking the water. This is Gan Eden. And what was so striking about this was that you had Gan Eden and absolute impoverishment and misery right next to each other. You don't see that very often. It was very striking.
Please give me money when you come back. Otherwise, if you don't give me money, we break your car.
It was very striking and also very sad to see. Very sad to see. Because, again, the extremes. If such extremes of poverty and wealth right next to each other. And I remember speaking to a friend of mine, and asking him, do you think there's an obligation to give more than just 10% of your assets to tzedakah? We've been speaking about giving maaser, and just to quote the Rambam in Hilchot Matnot Aniyim Perek Zayin, the Rambam says, what is the amount that a person should give? It's not in your source sheet. So he says Likama, he says a person should give. A person comes and says, I need $10,000. You don't have $10,000. So you give him according to what you can give. V'kama ad chamishit nechasav. You never give more than 20% of your possessions. That's tzedakah. You have to keep 80%. That's mitzvah min ha-muvchar, the highest level performance of tzedakah. V'achad me'asar ben nechasav ben ami. And if you give 10%, that's benoni, that's average. Giving 10% is average. That, for us, is the normal, the standard. Pachot mikan ayin ra'ah, and less than that is ayin ra'ah. It means that you're very stingy, and you should be giving more and become a more generous person. But what's striking here is that the Rambam says explicitly that you may not give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. Okay? This is all based on the Gemara and Masechet Ketubot, which you also don't have in your source sheet, but it will be quoted in the sources we're going to read tonight. The Bavli says in Masach Ketubot Daf Nun, Amar Rabbi Eli B'Usha Hitkinu. Rabbi Eli says in Usha. Usha was one of the places that the Sanhedrin moved to. B'Usha Hitkinu HaMevazbez Al Yevazbez Yoter Mechomesh. If you're going to give away money to someone else, don't give away more than 20%. Again, that's where the Rambam gets this from. There doesn't seem to be any distinction. There's no distinction here between these two things, but it's an interesting point that you make about, is there a difference between, right? Rambam says nechasav. Nechasav are all of your assets pulled together. Okay? The Gemara just says, doesn't say chomesh of what? One-fifth of what? Could be your yearly your salary. It could be your assets generally, your portfolio. Okay, Tani Namihach, we also learned in the Braita. Ali Yivazbez Yoter Mechomesh, Shema Yitzarech Labriot. What's the reason for this? The reason for this is that you might become too reliant on others. What happens if you give away more than 20%? You give 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 80%, you give everything away. What happens? What happens? The market crashes, then you have nothing. And then you need to rely on other people. So we don't want to create a situation where you become poor yourself, and then you need money from other people. Okay, that's not solving anyone's problems. That's just creating a new problem. Okay, and so that's not a solution. And okay, there's a story. A person wanted to give away more than 20%. The word levazbez is not really appropriate for it. We think of levazbez to waste. I don't think that's how Gemara is using this term. Levazbez is to give away.
You give 50 shekel inside your kitchen. Exactly,
and that's bad. I don't think that's what the Gemara is referring to. Giving 20% is not levas peis. It's giving a major, an amazing, doing an amazing mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Bikesh achad levas peis yoter mechomish v'lo niach lo chavero." So someone wanted to give away more than 20%. His friend did not allow him to do this. Who was his friend? Umanu, Rabbi Yisheva, Amrida Rabbi Yisheva, V'loni Chavro, Manu Rabbi Akiva. Some say this person was Rabbi Yisheva. Then Rabbi Akiva prevented him from giving away more than 20%. Okay. So what do we see from here? We see that you cannot give away more than 20%. But now we get to a fundamental question. Today, the wealthier are wealthier than they've ever been in the past. Ever. Maybe the oil barons of the late 20th century in America, John Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie. Okay, it's interesting. Where do you put those guys? Okay, put them aside for a second. You have today in Israel thousands of millionaires, tens of billionaires. Can you have imagined this reality in 1968 in Israel or 1982? People didn't have this type of wealth. The same thing is true in America as well, in the Jewish community. So many philanthropists, so many people who have made it big, startups. They've sold this company, they've sold that. I mean, people have tremendous amounts of money in ways that they did not have in the past. I'll just give you an example. And this is another topic about drinking and alcohol and materialism in our communities. I do remember as a young child going downstairs I was walking around downstairs in the shul that I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. I just remember seeing four old guys drinking some peach schnapps. Maybe they were a kiddish club. I don't know. They were a proto kiddish club. Who knows what they were? They were drinking maybe like a $6 bottle of peach schnapps. Today it's nothing less than 18-year Johnny Walker, you know, Glenlivet, and 25-year this and 30-year that. The amount of money that people have to spend on these things. Livazbez, perhaps, is the correct word. Okay, so there's excessive wealth. And here's the question. Does that mean that we all, okay, have an obligation to give more than 20%? Because even what it means to be poor, by the way, has also changed. Everything's relative. Being poor today doesn't mean that you don't have anything to eat. Being poor today means that you may not have internet. Or being poor means that you don't have working electricity 24 hours a day. You understand? These things have also... I'm not saying that that's... In poverty, you know, everything's defined based on a certain culture, a certain situation, a certain reality. Poor, it's possible that poor people today would be considered rich in 1500, in the Middle Ages, right? So there is... Hello. Welcome. Come join. Okay, so there is... So these things, you know, are relative to a degree. They are relative, there's no doubt about it. We spoke about relative issues in Tzedakah, that fulfilling a person's subjective needs and what that includes and what that entails. De machsara asher yachsar lo. But ultimately, we have a fundamental question about how much Tzedakah should a person really be giving. Should we be giving a lot more than 10% or 20% even? Hence my question that I sent out, should one liquidate their stock portfolio to feed, you know, to feed hungry children? Okay, that's the fundamental question. Yes, question.
The problem that they have is that they give proportions. They're talking in absolutes, and if they had talked in absolutes, it would have been completely irrelevant, because if someone like Bill Gates, if he gives away 20%,
it's nothing. If Bill Gates gives away 20%, he's still worth
nothing.
What is he worth? $150 billion today? Okay, so what's 20%? 20% is 20 billion, you know, 30 billion. He's still worth that. That's exactly my point. And by the way, Bill Gates is a very good example of someone who is giving away all of his wealth. And the fundamental question is there an obligation to do that? And that's the truth that I want to look at tonight. That was printed by Rav Shlomo Aviner. It's printed in a journal called Tchumin. He's the rabbi Rosh Hashiva Vateret Konim in the Old City. Actually, his yeshiva is in the Muslim quarter of the Old City. He's also a rabbi in Beit El, in the Yishuv Beit El. Sure, yeah. And he's a prolific writer, yes.
How children figure in this? Can you say, you know, I have
children? Yeah, I had a children figure into this. Yeah, I want to make sure my children and grandchildren are taken care of, and they're going to leave them some assets, and
so
yeah,
are they considered in this or not?
It's a good question. We haven't gotten to those details. Okay, but it's a good question. Okay, let's read from the article by Rav Shlomo Aviner. Short article, 3 pages, appeared in Chumin in Tafshin Samech Tet. Okay, Tafshin Samech Tet is about 13 years ago. Okay, we're in Tafshin Peibet. Mutarutecha. Einam. Mutarutecha. Thank you. Mutarutecha. Einam kodmin l'chaye chavercha. Your excessiveness doesn't come before your friend's needs. That's the title here. Ad ezo gvul adam chayav latet tzedakah. What is the boundary of how much tzedakah you have to give? Im yitein l'kol hamigbiyot l'tzrachim chiyunim, ma yishar biyado. If you give everyone based on their, you know, their needs, their absolute needs, what's going to be left for you? Be'elu mikrim nitan latet maaser kesafim bilvad v'lo yoter. When can you give 10% but not more? Be'elu mikrim neumar hamivazbez alviv ayivazbez yoter mechomish. When do we say don't give more than 20%? When do you need to give more than even 20%? Okay, so that's the question. Okay, Aleph. Milui tzarchem achiyunim shel aniyim. Come join us, just get a chair. Legabe ashir. Eino kayam adin she'ayiv azbez yoter mechomesh. She makes a very strong statement here.
You left me money, which today I'm not allowed to touch.
Okay, we're gonna talk about it.
For an old
okay, we're going to talk about personal finances soon. Okay. He makes a very radical statement that this notion of 20% as the max amount that you're allowed to give for tzedakah, that doesn't apply to really wealthy people. Okay? Sha'al yivazbez yoter mechomesh. Ki chayecha kodmin amru chazal. Chazal have a principle when it comes to tzedakah. You come first. There's a famous case in the Gemara where you have there's one water bottle and you have it, it's in your hands, and either you drink it or your friend drinks it. Okay, who does it go to first?
Desert.
You're in the desert, and like one guy's going to live, the other one's going to die. So what do you do? If you split it 50-50, you both die. You give it to him, you die. What do you need to do? You have to drink it for yourself. Chayecha kodmi. Your life comes first. Okay, you have to take care of yourself first. Everyone agrees with that principle. Okay, your life comes before your friend. Aval, but that your wealth, that your excessiveness, that your luxuries come before your friend, we've never seen anything like that. You know, if somebody can say, well, I really need this porch, I really need this Porsche, and your neighbor next door doesn't have bread to put on the table. Your friend, your friend chavero, we have to define who chavero is, comes before your excessive luxuries and seventh home in the Bahamas and etc. All these things.
So the question is, what happens if that neighbor doesn't want to use his money, he buys expensive stuff, wastes all his money?
Okay, that's a little bit different.
So what do you do?
That's a little bit different. Okay. Kachaya omer hachavetz chayim, the kutz hachavetz chayim, who dealt extensively with issues of tzedakah and chesed, and he says as follows. Okay. That's what he says. He quotes the Chafetz Chaim. Now, the Kain Katav, go to the next paragraph. The Kain Katav Chafetz Chaim shekol takanat usha. Chafetz Chaim also says the takanat usha havevazbez ayivazbez uter mechomish. This notion of never giving away more than 20% of your assets. Haytarak al habeinonim. This was just for the beinonim. This is just for the average person. Velo la'ashirim, but not for the wealthy. Okay, sof beiro al avot. This is what he explains in avot. Does this make sense? Because if you go back to the Gemara Masachet Ketubot, why were you not allowed to give more than 20%? The whole point was that if you give more than 20%, you're going to become reliant on tzedakah one day yourself. You have to have some money saved up. You start giving away 20, 30, too much of your assets, you're going to need tzedakah one day. We don't want to make another tzedakah project here. So don't give away more than 20%. But what's the reason? Now, again, let's take Bill Gates. If you're worth $150 billion and you give away 20%, you're left with $120 billion, $150 to $120, you're not going to need to rely on anybody else. You'll still be fine. Okay.
You can give away,
you know, 98% of his wealth, and he'll be wealthier than most of the people in the world, right? Or you can give away 99.9% of his wealth, and he'd still be a millionaire, right? So
that's what Bill Gates did, I think.
Yeah, he did. He did. Nachon. He's a good example. The question is whether Bill Gates, what he did, is obligatory for perhaps all of us, and especially for the wealthy in today's world, when there is such excessive wealth. Okay, and there's so many needs out in the world. Okay, so this is the question that we're trying to address today. Nachon. Okay, lachem asher yuchal latet zchumim adirim ad sheyered dargat benoni. Therefore, an asher, a wealthy person, needs to give huge amount of money until he becomes just a benoni. What would it take to make Bill Gates just an average guy, an average person in America? What, that he has $1 million in a bank account, in his pension account? And that's even more probably than the Benoni. Let's say he's got $3 million saved up for retirement. Someone do the math. What is that? 3 million out of 150 billion. What is that? It's giving away almost literally 99% of his wealth. Okay, that's where we would get to with this. Even for a benoni, they didn't prohibit to give an chomish.
Okay. Sorry, can I ask about the principle of preserving your own life and someone else's?
Yeah.
Is there any logic behind that? I mean, what happens, you know, if the other person is a top neurosurgeon and saves millions of hundreds of lives a year,
yeah,
and you're a guy who sweeps the streets, surely his life is worth more than yours, or whatever, in terms of contributing to mankind. I mean, why is it an automatic principle?
It's a good question. No. He's asking why. You know, can't you evaluate the value of a person's life before you're deciding who dies first? So the Gemara says, you know, I'll give you an example, an answer from Masechet Sanhedrin is like on Daf Ayin Gimel. The Gemara says, you know, there are three things, capital offenses that you need to die for instead of committing. Okay, so you can't commit adultery. Someone says, commit adultery, I'm going to shoot you. You have to die. Person says, kill someone else before, you know, I'm going to kill you. You have to die. And what's the Gemara's argument? The Gemara's argument is, who says that your blood is redder than his blood? Meaning, how do you know that your life is worth more than his? You don't know this. So, you know, maybe we think...
That's a contradiction, then, isn't it?
Maybe we think the, you know, the... No, but this isn't a case where it's coercion. Maybe you think your life is worth more. You know, maybe the other person's life is worth more. So, again, to some degree, it is a contradiction, Achon, because on the one hand, you have to save your life first. But that can't, not in a situation where you're going to commit murder to someone else. Okay, so there are, you know, it's a complicated question. And you could say, well, what about a child versus an adult? You know, a child has a lot more life to live, hopefully, whereas an adult, you know, they've already passed the majority of their life. So in general, we don't know the value of a person's life. There's a principle, one individual goes first. You know, even b'hafalarecha kamocha, love someone else as you love yourself. It implies that you love yourself first. Okay, so it's a fair question, but this is the okay.
And the value of someone's life is all up to Hashem. It's not for us to.
Nachon. It is. Nachon.
He's more valuable than him.
Nachon. Now, so shtei adrachot shel haChafetz Chaim kruchot yachad. These two guidelines of the Chafetz Chaim are interconnected. Kevan sheosharcha eino kodem lachayecha bracha, because your wealth doesn't come before another person's needs. Yotzei sheim ashira ta alecha latet me'al mechomesh. Therefore, we put these two ideas together. What do we learn? If you're wealthy, you should give more than 20% to tzedakah. A lot more than 20%. Ki korah matchayecha me'eber lezoshal benonihi begeder osher. Anything beyond being just an average, normal person is considered wealth. Ra'aya lekach hi me'a mitzvah lesapek et kot rachav shel ani. Imeish b'chatol shel anotem k'divei Rambam. As the Rambam says, let's read the golden words of the Rambam. Mitzvata seritein tzedakah laniim kifi ma shereui la'ani. You have to give the ani what his needs are, based on his needs, based on your ability to give. Well, guess what? A wealthy person has much more capacity to give. Bill Gates could give away 499 out of 500, five hundredths of his assets, and he would still have enough to live on for the rest of his life. Okay? Raki minya do maseged hu atzmo kodem kifisha diik mikan mare kuskus. Okay? Only if he doesn't have enough money, then he shouldn't give more. Perush. L'chyo tuv liten d'chayecha kodmin. Harei sha'geder shal yadon ten maseged hu shi yishaer chay. Klomar tochei chayim chayav ha'chiyunim hevei omer benoni. Says, what does it mean? What do you need to retain for yourself? You need to retain enough money to live. Beyond just living, you got to give away, according to Rav Shlomo Abner. Okay? Now, how you define what your needs are is an interesting question. How do we define that today? Okay? The Ketzan Adir Tzorcheh Chaim Chinuyim. So how do you define this? Hakol Rafi Kefi Ru'ut Enei Hadayan. Achvada Lo Mutarut. Everything is based on, you know, what the dad sees. And every situation is a little bit different. Okay, it's objective. But it's definitely not excessiveness. Excessive wealth, you know, guy has 3 garages with 10 cars. Okay, that's, we could agree that's excessive. That Rav Shlomo Avner would agree is too much. That a person buys, you know, an extra pair of jeans, we would agree that's not too much. Okay, but there's, you know, we got to figure out what this
looks like. My brother's son got a boss. A house in Los Angeles, got a house in Dubai, got a house in Cyprus. And
okay, so he should talk to Rav Shlomo Avner. What could I tell you? Okay. V'kach katav hator b'shem Rav Saadia Gaon. The Torah writes in the name of Rav Saadia Gaon, chayav adam lagdim parnasato l'chol adam. Ve'enu chayav latet tzaka ad shiyu lo parnasato. Sh'ne'emar v'chay achi chayma. Chayach kodmin l'chayei chavercha. V'chayin pasak arama. Now, it basically says your parnasa comes before somebody else's. Okay? Yesh tasim lev shehator katav parnasato. Notice what the Torah says. Your parnasa comes before someone else. What's parnasa mean? Parnasa means your basic needs. But it doesn't mean, what does parnasa not include? It doesn't include your 7th house in Dubai. And it doesn't include the private jet. And it doesn't include, you know, the 300-foot yacht. Okay? And it doesn't include those things. That it definitely doesn't include. It's parnasa. Parnasa is things that you need to sustain yourself. Zaklav. This is the rule. Chayav asher latet laniyim et osho, afilu yered ekev achar kach ledargat benoni. You have to give away your money, even to the point where you become just an average guy with a very basic or standard, you know, stock portfolio. Kedei lemalei machsoram shel laniyim, in order to help others. Klamar tzorcheim hachiyuniim, to help them fulfill their essential needs. Now, is this like communist? Does this sound like communist to you? What is this communist? Yes or no?
If it's a law, then we'll say yeah.
What is this?
What's the role of tax in all this? I mean, tax considered.
Well, you'll definitely save a lot on that. You'll get a lot of tax breaks, that's for sure.
No, but if you pay 20% tax, then you've given us to the poor.
Okay, so we did speak about this 2 shiurim ago, about whether mas hachnasa can count towards your giving tzedakah. Rav Nachum Rabinovich says that part of your 10% can be accounted for by mas hachnasa, because some of that money is going to welfare and you're helping people with needs. Okay? So that is something that he paskins. But is this communism? So I would argue that it's not. Why is this not socialism or communism? Why not? Because we're still having someone give of their own volition. Okay? We're enabling, become wealthy. It's okay to become wealthy and to make a lot of money and to own a lot of wealth. But then we want to encourage you as an individual to give it away. It's not that we're not taking it away. No, communism is that everything is owned by the state, the government. Really, some wealthy people at the top. But fine, you know, it's cool. The assets are pooled. It's not pooling assets. It's yours. You made $100 billion. Wonderful capitalism. Let capitalism work. But then, by your own volition, you should then give away whatever you can. You understand? So and capitalism enables you to give a lot more because you can make a lot more. Okay, Klomar, I don't remember who the name was, but there's a Jew in the Yom Kippur War who gave away half of his assets, and he was a billionaire, to the Israeli government. I'm trying to remember who it was. Yeah, he has some Jewish philanthropist. I'm trying to remember who it was. It's an amazing thing. Okay. Okay, you don't need to give away your, you know, the things that you use, your car, your you know, your food processor. You don't need to give those things away, but it sounds like you get to give away things that are excessive. Okay, so it's an interesting question. If you have, you know, $3,000 worth of whiskeys in your closet, where does that fit into? I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, it's a good question. Kach katav Rambam. Ba'ani v'sha'adei machzoro ve'en yad hanotein maseget noteno kefi hasagat yadeh. Again, we're quoting the same Rambam from Hilchot Matnot Anim Perek Zayin. If a person says, and basically you give a person, you try to fill their needs, their subjective needs, de machzoro, as the pasuk says in Sefer Parshat Re'eh, v'kama ad chamishit nechasav mitzvah min ha'mavchar ve'achad me'asara b'nechasav benoni v'chol mikein ayin ra'ah. Okay, 20% is the highest level of tzedakah, 10%, and if not, give less than that, ayin ra'ah, you're stingy. Now, Ulei takanat usha. Now, this is all based on the takana of usha. There's a certain period in Jewish history, takanat usha. Altav as based on term chomash, we quoted this Gemara in Masechet Ketubot. What was before takanat usha? This is a very interesting point that Rav Shlomo Avinair makes. What was before takanat usha? Before the rabbi said that you're not allowed to give away more than 20%. What was the rule in the Torah? No.
10%.
No. What was the rule? You can give away a lot more than 20%. You can give away 99%. You can give away 100%, perhaps. You understand? It, before, meaning what, according to the Torah, is the real rule? The answer is, you just have to leave a little bit so that you can live. As long as you have enough to make it each day, you should give the rest to a poor person. But in Usha, they made a takana, there's a place, Usha, that you may not give more than 20%. Okay? Why? The hasiba, the takana, ki imi vazbezit ha-mechosh, alul hu le'atzmo li'tarech la'briyot ha-machara. If you do give more than 20%, you're going to be reliant on other people, and you'll become a tztaka, receiver yourself.
So you're saying the Torah is not perfect?
It's not perfect. The Torah understands that over time, certain things need to be adjusted. And it gives the power to the Chachamim to make those adjustments over time. Okay? And one of those things, rabbis saw that people were giving away too much, and it was leading to increased poverty. So it's better for a person to hold on to 80% of their assets and not give away more than that.
So is it 13 attributes? Is one of them don't change the Torah at any time?
No, but on the one hand, you're not supposed to change the Torah. Lo tosifu, lo tikru v'menu. That's in Sefer Devarim. On the other hand, the power to create gzerot and decrees and numi nagim is in the hands of the rabbi. Okay, in the Zolan Parashat Shoftim. So the rabbis also have the power to adjust things, to add things. Based on this is rabbinic authority. Torah Shabbat.
Sorry, what does it actually say in the Torah?
Al pi Torah asher yiruchah ve'al mitzvot asher yiruchah lo tasur min hadavar asher yigid lachayim minu smo. The rabbis have the ability to make up new takanot, to make up new decrees.
They normally build fences around this.
Fences.
In this case, that's making it more lenient.
Well, it's a fence. It depends what direction the fence is in, right? It's protecting the individual giving the money so that he doesn't give away more than 20%.
No, but right. How much
does it say you should give in the Torah? In the Torah, it doesn't give a specific amount. It just says, open up your hands. Patoch, tiftach, liyadacha, lachicha, laniach, levenacha, ve'arteacha. And you should give day machzero to fill the needs of the ani. Then and it doesn't identify how much. Then in Usha, it says don't give more than
20%. Okay, so it's not changing.
So no, it's either defining it. Well, it's definitely adding a new layer to it. It's prohibiting giving more than 20%.
Does it say 10% in the Torah?
It says 10%. We spoke about many different places in the Torah where 10%, this notion of 10% comes from. Yaakov Avinu makes a neder, he makes a vow at in Parshat Vayishlach. He says, Parshat Vayetze, he says, Aser Asrenu Lach, I'll give 10%. So there are rimazim, hints to giving only 10% in the Torah. The truth is that 10%, it's actually higher than that. It's giving 20% according to the Chachamim, but even more than that is even permitted. Al pi Torah according to the Chatam Sofer and Rav Shlomo Avinair. Now, then we get to the question of how do you define how do you define exactly what your own needs? Then it gets to the gritty details. The devil's in the detail. How do you define what your needs are versus what excessiveness is? Okay, and this is where it gets a little bit tricky. What? So I have a bottle of Jameson, whiskey. What, is that excessive? It cost me $20. Is that excessive? Well, I don't need it. But I have a little lechayim on Shabbat. Is that a necessity? Is that a need? Is that, well, I'm just saying. We could evaluate this for many things, you know. So I bought a few extra shirts. Okay, I can have 5 shirts now. I have 8 shirts. Is that, you know? These things are complicated, and we're not going to go into all the details in the rest of this article. But just skip to the last page, okay? Which is okay. Okay. Okay, go to Gimel. Look at Gimel here for a second. By Amim HaRishonim, this is on the page 56. Yeah, Gimel. Right there. Gimel. Okay. By Amim HaRishonim, Shadam Ayam Tzamtzem Aralat Mechiyatom Me'od V'lo Ayam Motzi Shum Davar Al'Eze Inyan Yeter Kim Alech Rechiyut Ha'adai B'ma'at Ha'ma'od She'echin Etzaka V'chaz Datzit Yidem Etzva Al Piyatcha Mash'in Gen Ka'ayom. He says, listen, today the situation has changed. Our socioeconomic situation has totally changed. Back in the day, people had a few extra grushim, and that's what they would save, and people didn't have excessive wealth. Aval, but today, Mashein ken kayom shematsui ba v'noten rabim b'sharbei barbei me'amodo ochin al yichonod mitanugei b'nei adam. Today we see so many people spend a lot of money on excessive wealth, new dresses, and new cars, and new whiskey, v'dirot yikod v'yiribuy ha-meshartim ga'aygana. Lo tehi midat tzedakah v'chesed shehi chayei adam v'tzedakah v'olam hazeh v'olam haba kal b'einecha me'echad yitronotav. Okay, a person should understand that other people's needs are more important than his. Okay? V'uvemet kashun yishal kol achad v'achad al hanagato. Whenever you ask someone about how they run their household, their budget, you ask someone, well, how do you run your, you know, he always says, shehu midnaheg ashiv harabu yetem mikvi arkote, return nachon lefanav, shi efshal ligrom menagad abayin muma, votech b'ashem shiazrei wazeh. A person says, you know, can you take out something from your budget? No, I can't take out anything. Hashem should help me, you know. If ilu kishabal lefanav inyan tztaka v'chased, hu ma'amed libo v'kovet zedob v'oseh, that's mo la'ani v'dal, eno noten afafi arko. You know, when it comes to giving tzedakah, he doesn't give anything. He's buying all these extra things and this and that, but you know, when it comes to tzedakah, he's not. Katavar Marana Rav Kook, we'll end this with this in terms of Rav Kook here. The Zahir bin Tzedakah 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 Ki Mash Nogel Lechayeh Ani Hu Kodem Lekol Mutarot Shel Atzmo Apitur Atenu HaKdusha. A person's tzedakah needs come before our excessive needs. Okay? And that's an important point. Okay?
But who do you give to? That's the,
okay, so then you decide, who do you give to? That's a fair question. Now, this is the article by Rav Shlomo Aviner in Tchumin, Tafshin Samech Tent, okay, from about 13 years ago. Now we're going to look at an article by Rabbi Chaim Jachter. Rabbi Chaim Jachter is a dayan in New Jersey. He's a teacher of mine and a colleague. Wonderful rabbi. He writes extensively, okay, very prolific. And he wrote an evaluation of Aviner's provocative tzedakah ruling by Rav Chaim Jachter. Okay, he wrote an article in response to this. Let's read Rav Shlomo Aviner inside. Tchumen Volume 29 includes an astonishing ruling from Rishlo Aviner, a leading halachic authority in the religious Zionist community. Rav Aviner writes, a wealthy individual must donate all of his wealth to satisfy the essential needs of poor individuals, even if the wealthy person thereby becomes a member of the middle class. Rav Aviner defines the essential needs of an individual as those that would make him an average individual, what we would call middle class. Although Rav Aviner supports this assertion from classic halachic sources, to my knowledge, no other leading authority has made such a sweeping statement. Moreover, it contradicts common practice to which no Rav other than Rav Aviner objects. So he's arguing Rav Aviner is on the margins on this issue. Rav Aviner is not the consensus. Evidence for Rav Aviner. One might object to Rav Aviner by citing the well-known Gemara, Masach Ketubot, which we quoted. The rabbis in Usha instituted, Takan at Usha, maximum of 20% that one may donate to Tzedakah. Rav Aviner, though, cites the Chafetz Chaim, who argues that the Takan at Usha applies only to individuals of average financial means, but not to wealthy individuals. The reason for Takanat Usha, as stated in the Gemara, is that the donor does not become dependent on others. Accordingly, since a wealthy individual will not become dependent on others, even if he donates more than 20% of his wealth, Takanat Usha was not issued in regards to such individuals. Although Chazal teach that one's life enjoys priority over another's life, the Chafetz Chaim rules, okay, that one's wealth does not have priority over another individual's life. Indeed, the title of Rav Aviner's essay is One's Luxuries Do Not Come Before the Life of Others. He concludes with a citation from Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook, which is quoted in Mishpat Orach Chaim, that whatever is necessary to preserve life of a poor individual enjoys priority over all personal luxuries. Rabbi Avinair marshals an important discussion in the Gemara Nedarim 80b, which presents a debate between Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham. We didn't read this inside, but let's read it now. Regarding the parameters of the obligation of one community assisting another community as evidence. Both agree that if one community has enough water only to sustain itself and the other has no water, the first city does not have to forsake its own water to save the other city, since one's life enjoys priorities over another's life. However, if one city has sufficient water for both drinking and for laundering, and the other town has no water even for drinking, according to the Chachamim, one town must forgo washing its clothes in order to save the lives of the residents of the other community. Rav Yossi argues that the town may retain even its water for washing and risk the lives of the other town, since not washing clothes can lead to severe damaging effects and cause severe long-term health problems. Okay, so what do you do? How do you balance out resources? Okay, now, Rav Avinair concludes from this Gemara that even Rav Yossi believes in retaining only that which is essential for living. However, one must give up any luxury whose absence does not cause a danger to his well-being in order to save the lives of others. Criticism of Rav Avinair's ruling. One cannot overemphasize the importance of donating generously to tzedakah. Indeed, the Rambam writes, we must be careful in our observance of the mitzvah of tzedakah, more so than any other mitzvah. For tzedakah is an indicator of being a descendant of Avraham Avinu. The Jewish people are redeemed only through tzedakah, as Yeshayahu teaches. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and its attorneys with tzedakah. Moreover, the Shulchan Aruch does indeed say that someone of significant financial means should donate to tzedakah as much as he is able. One may question, though, Rav Avinair's assertion that as much as he's able means that he must forego his wealth. Common practice does not reflect such an interpretation. And an alternative interpretation is that a wealthy individual gives generously to the extent he can retain his basic lifestyle and not reduce his socioeconomic standing. He's saying, listen, you got to look at the world. Is this what people do? Number one, this is not what people do. People don't just forego their wealth. I'll give away everything and I'm just going to become, you know, and live a much more basic lifestyle. Okay, and there's no obligation to this. Indeed, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the context of ruling rules, that it is unreasonable to expect someone to reduce his socioeconomic standing in order to assist others. Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying you could give away, but you're not expected to, you know, if you're upper class, you're not expected to give away that so much money that you're now going to be in the middle class. If you're middle class, lower than that, one is allowed to retain their status, whatever wealth, you know, you're allowed to stay in the class that you're in. But just give, you know, but give within that, within those boundaries and parameters. Okay? Indeed, the principle of Derachea, Derachei Noam, the Torah is pleasant. See how this pasuk is applied in Sukkah, would argue that it is too much to expect from someone to relinquish his wealth in favor of tzedakah. The Torah describes both wealthy and poor individuals in Am Yisrael. Thus, the Torah essentially advocates a capitalist society, though with some limitations, such as the Shemitah year, okay, in which everything is transformed into a socialist economy. That's right now. This is quite unlike Rav Avinair's vision of a financially egalitarian society in which neither wealthy individual nor poor individuals, or no wealthy individuals unless everyone else in the middle class exists. Now, again, I think there's a difference here. I think Rav Avinair is arguing for a capitalist model, but then give away of your own volition. So I don't know if, I'm not sure I agree with this point of Rabbi Jachter. While tzedakah and other laws are meant to curb excessive capitalism, the Torah nonetheless adopts a fundamentally capitalist approach to financial matters. He's arguing that the Torah accepts capitalism. He's making the case now that Rav Shlomo Avinair doesn't really accept capitalism, that he's, you know, bordering more on the socialist model. I think one can make a distinction here that, you know, socialism insofar, it's not socialism, Rav Shlomo Avinair, because you have the ability to give it by your own volition. Okay? It's not that you have to give it, it's not owned by the state.
He's saying you do have to give it.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's saying you have to give it, but you're choosing to give. It means you're also able to build up wealth, in a sense, right? So the, you know,
yes,
and
it's fine that you're halachically obliged to.
Yeah, no, you are halachically obliged to. You know, but again, I wouldn't go so far to say that that's socialism. It's capitalism plus a very strong level of generosity.
Capitalism, you know, means you do what you want.
Capitalism means make as much money as you want, you know, and if you work hard, you make the money, it's yours. It's yours. Moreover, Rav Avinair's ruling is simply counterproductive. Wealthy individuals donate mot tzedakah, and were they expected to forego their wealth in behalf of tzedakah, then in the long run, tzedakah would lose more by following Rav Avinair than if his ruling were not adopted. It's an interesting question about motivations. What motivates people to make a lot of money? Let's call it greed. It's, right? It's interesting. Capitalism does sometimes motivate and harness a person's, you know, less lofty character traits. Okay? But on the other hand, if you knew you had to give everything away, you said, well, why should I go to work? Why am I working? Okay? And were they expected to forego their wealth on behalf of tzedakah, then in the long run tzedakah would lose more by following Rav Yonair than if his ruling were not adopted. Moreover, people would lose their motivation to accumulate wealth because they would be obligated to part with it once they attain the wealth. Finally, wealth has the potential to generate even more wealth, and were one obligated to part with his small fortune, he would also be obligated to forego the opportunity to create a larger fortune, giving more tzedakah than he would have had he parted with his money as soon as he earned his small fortune. You know, interestingly, the Gemara in Sukkah 29b writes that wealthy people are expected to pressure other Jews to properly observe Torah. Rashi explains that people will listen to wealthy individuals since people fear their power. This benefit is lost if one subscribes to Rav Aviner's approach, the wealthy forgoing their wealth. Okay, it's an interesting side point. But he's saying, listen, you know, sometimes if I could give $1,000 to tzedakah, but if I take my money, I invest it, I create this amazing startup, and now I'm worth millions, now I can give a lot more money. Right? So you have to think about the long term, about what you would be able to give in the future, not just what you can give right now. That's the argument that Rabbi Jachter is making right now. Sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, what do you want to do with your life? And you speak to some of the youths and they'll say, I want to make a lot of money. Why do you want to make a lot of money? So I can give a lot to tzedakah. So sometimes when I hear that, I say, well, you know, I'm not so sure I agree with that that approach. So once speaking to a kid in camp in Machane B'nai Akiva, and what do you want to do when you get older? I want to be a hedge fund manager. This was back in the day, 10 years ago or so, when, you know, 12 years ago, when all Jewish boys wanted to go into finance. Now they want to be two startups. Finance is no longer what it once was, okay? But, you know, I don't want to push too hard, but I question that. Those are your ideals. That's your ideal. I understand, you know, we all want to be comfortable. We want to, but is that really what you were? You know, what about solving cancer? You know, curing cancer. What about helping people? What about, you know, helping people with food? What about teaching Torah? You know, we should, there's nothing wrong with wanting to have a lot of money, but you would hope that a teenager has a certain idealism, you know, that encourages them to want to do a little bit more. I remember when, you know, from university, the valedictorian of my the college that I studied at in New York, she went to, you know, to do finance at Goldman Sachs. Yeah, valedictorian from Columbia University, you know? It's like, come on, you should go do something idealistic. Go cure cancer. Go to Africa and, you know, and do the Peace Corps. Go become, you know, do something that's really meaningful to the world. And, you know, this is, okay, this is the world we live in today. But again, some of that, let's call it greed, call it the desire to accumulate wealth, also enables, can be used for very good things. You can give a lot of money to tzedakah. Okay, so these are, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's really just about how a person channels this. Now, moreover, Rav Kook in the Darim Edibi requires sacrificing one's wealth to save the lives of poor individuals, but does not make such a demand to meet the poor's essential needs. The Chafetz Chaim ruled that only the lives of poor individuals enjoy priority over a rich man's wealth. Okay, but the essential needs of a poor man do not enjoy such priority. One may lead a strong and healthy life as a poor individual without necessity of having his standard living raised to that of the middle class. He's industrious and wise, and the beneficiary of some heavenly assistance. The poor man can raise himself to the middle class and beyond without the benefit of charity. Okay, so what's he arguing here? That a poor person, as long as he has some of his basic needs met, also could work hard and raise himself up. He shouldn't rely on tzedakah. Now, the load is according to one's abilities. Two more paragraphs here. The Gemara in Masach HaKetubot, Daf Samach Vav Amud Bet, records how a wealthy individual named Nakadimon Ben Gurion suffered greatly as a result of his having given insufficient funds to tzedakah. The Gemara explains that he did give some tzedakah, but not enough for those blessed with his level of wealth. The Gemara cites a folk saying that expresses the point and states, the stronger the camel, the more one loads upon it. The analogy is that the greater the ability of the individual, the more wealth Hashem bestows upon him. Thus Hashem blesses with wealth in proportion to one's potential. Thus the attainment of wealth should be viewed as a message from Hashem that he expects the beneficiary to use his wealth in part to accomplish great things for his community. Mainstream halachic practice and opinion does not subscribe to the extreme ruling of Aviner. However, there's a troubling phenomenon that seems to have motivated Rav Aviner's ruling. Both in Israel and the United States, widespread public expressions of wealth, itself a questionable phenomenon, see Kli Akartit, Volume 2, 3, are evident. These expressions are on a scale unheard of in earlier generations. Leading Israeli rabbi quietly come to be at a particular opulent wedding. I do not think Achashverosh's palace and parties were this lavish. There you go, a Purim reference. We're in Adar Aleph. On the other hand, right, the Gemara says in Masachah Megillah that it's because the Jews participated in the party of Haman that they were, worthy of being punished in that generation. On the other hand, the communal and charitable needs of the community are growing tremendously. The unhealthy spurning of work by some Jews, though, is partly responsible for this phenomenon. Upon seeing the many very large homes, lavish kiddushim, and extravagant weddings, one wonders why many vitally important educational and other Jewish communal organizations are struggling to survive. One is left to ponder whether every wealthy member of our community is giving to the best of his ability. Rav Herschel Schachter, in a landmark speech delivered in Tinek a few years ago, correctly noted that wealthy individuals are not obligated to support the lavish Pesach and Israel vacations taken by individuals of lesser means. Okay, there's an interesting discussion. Now, I remember in one of the schools that I taught at, so you could apply for scholarships, and a larger percentage of people are in scholarships today than in the past because schooling is so expensive. In America, you pay $40,000 to send your kid to a Jewish high school. And you can get scholarships. But the school will ask you, well, are you going to Florida for Pesach? Are you going to Italy? Are you going on which cruise are you going on this year? So there's, you might need to help someone else send their kid to Yeshiva Day School, but you don't need to help them go on that cruise, to the Baltic Sea in the summer. Nonetheless, one wonders sometimes whether each individual is living up to what Hashem expects him to do. Conclusion. Rav Avinair's ruling does not constitute normative halacha. It should nonetheless motivate wealthy members of our community to consider that they are living up to what Hashem expects them to do with their wealth. So Rabbi Jachter says, listen, I don't agree with Rav Shlomo Avinair in terms of that you have to give away all your wealth until you become, in the middle class. But there's no doubt that a wealthy person has greater obligations, and a person needs to give more than just maybe the 10% or 20%. And even if it's not a strict halachic obligation, the spirit of the law points in that direction, that you should give a lot more. Give what you can, essentially. And make sure that you're giving in the right way. You're giving in the right way. Okay? You have to be careful about what you give. Don't subsidize Pesach vacations to Italy, or to Morocco. Subsidize people's, kids' Jewish education. Subsidize, their ability to put food on the table. So we need to be careful about where we, how we place our money in a community. But, at the very least, I think this challenges us. These pieces challenge us to do more. And to think more carefully about what are our needs, what are our wants, and what is excessive in our lives, and can we squeeze a little bit more? And every person needs to do that cheshbon nefesh, I think, based on their financial status and what they have
in the bank. First thing, you have your family, then you have your community, and then have
the house. Nachon, correct. But
I want to ask how much, if you see people